Well, 1 Kings chapter 17 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17. If you were on my Bible study program, this is where you'd be. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, Elijah, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, naturally, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. The setting of our story is one of the most godless times in the Bible. Ahab is the king. He is as weak as he is profane. Sitting beside him is Jezebel, a pagan Phoenician princess. She is as strong as Ahab is weak. Her father's name was Ethbaal, who was not only king of the Zidonians, but he was also a priest of the two fertility cults, Baal and Ashtaroth. They were probably the two most vile religious systems of all time. And when Jezebel married Ahab and came to the throne of Israel, she brought 850 of her false prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth. All Israel had become permeated with the false doctrine, and the people had turned away from Jehovah God. It was a desperate hour of darkness in Israel. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 25. The Bible says this: But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. No other king was as bad as Ahab. Then one day, in the midst of all of this, a weather-beaten, calloused hand prophet of God by the name of Elijah appeared on the scene like a bolt of lightning. As he walked into the ivory palace of Ahab, he announced two things. First of all, God was not dead, as the Lord our God liveth. Second of all, there would be no rain on the face of the earth, but according to his word. And Ahab, the astute fool that he was, who could strut sitting down, laughed in the face of the prophet of God. So the drought and subsequent famine came. Elijah will spend the next 6 months beside the little brook Cherith. God would feed Elijah there by having ravens bring him bread and meat, and he drank from the brook Cherith. And then the brook dried up. It was the plan of God to move Elijah to Zarephath, a city of the Zidonians ruled by Ethbaal. As Elijah walked that 100 miles from the brook Cherith to Zarephath, he would have been startled to see the results of the famine. For the dust of death was upon all the land. The watering holes were dry. The cattle were all dead. The fields were empty and dusty. No streams, no rivers flowed. Very, very little green. And those that he met had sad faces, for they had rejected God and were reaping the whirlwind. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In Zarephath, he met a widow who had gone from a house with economic security and laughter and food and comfort to a home where death had taken her husband, leaving her with a son, with no income and a deadly famine. She and her son were at the brink of death when this rugged man that she recognized immediately as a prophet of God appeared and inquired of her situation. My situation is this. I have a handful of flour and a tablespoon of oil. I'm gathering sticks to make a fire. I will make one biscuit. I will divide it with my son. And if I know anything about a mother's heart, that boy would have received the larger piece. And then we will die. That's my situation. Elijah said, make the biscuit and give it to me. She must have thought, if I make the biscuit and give it to you, we will starve sooner than expected. Elijah said, do what I request and believe God. God sent me here to preserve your life. He sent me here to make his word first in your life. So she made preacher Elijah a little Jimmy biscuit. As he wiped the crumbs from his face, he smiled and said, now go and make biscuits for you and your son. She probably responded, maybe you didn't understand me. That's all there is, and there ain't no more. Elijah said, just do it. So she walks over and reaches in, and to her astonishment, there was more flour and more oil. And for the next 3 years, it never, ever ran out until the rain returned and the famine was gone. God made that which was not enough, enough. That which was not possible, possible, because she put God first. So let's try to apply this story to you, dear people, this morning. First of all, the strange request of Elijah. Back to verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Do this first. Do what God commands you first. You look at Elijah and say, "You're one of the toughest men in the Bible. You're the kind that would fight for a widow. Why would you ask her to give like that?" And Elijah would say, "I'm setting a principle in her life that I want her to understand and never forget." And that principle is the question of priorities. And the priority is this: who is first in your life? I'm not representing myself. I'm here at God's request. It's not my idea, it's God's idea. And before God will take care of this widow and her household, He must establish who is first in her life. And who was first was established by her giving. It always is. So let me ask you, who is first in your life this morning? What's the first commandment of the Ten Commandments? "Thou shalt have no other God before me." The first commandment is put God first before anything else. God sets the principle again, and He gives a promise. I want you to go with me to Malachi chapter 3. Hold your place in 1 Kings. We'll be coming back here. But Malachi chapter 3. And look at verse 10. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. The Lord says this: "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, ladies and gentlemen, you either believe that or you don't. It's the Word of God. But we have that which we have to do ourselves, and that is believe it. It's God's Word. It's for our benefit, but we have to believe it. The first tenth of all that God allows me to make is not mine. It belongs to God. It is holy unto the Lord. It is separated for His work. And His work today, ladies and gentlemen, is the church of the living God. It is an act of faith. It is an act of worship and a knowledge of priority. Have you come to understand this? Faith makes things possible, but not easy. Tina and I have found that to be true all of our life. My part of the church has an eternal significance because I have a commitment to God. I want you to go with me now to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, towards the end of this chapter, we'll begin reading in verse 57. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Okay. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and the birds of air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. And he said, suffer. And these next two words gives his heart. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. Nothing wrong with wanting to go and bury your father. But the two words, me first, reveals his heart. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Nothing wrong with wanting to say goodbye to your folks. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what, folks? It's a question of priorities. Who's first? Are you going to be first in your life, or are you going to put God first? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put God first, and he will take care of you. That's the same request that Elijah put to the widow. It is saying, God is in this. God brought me here for a purpose. God is with you. And this empty barrel in your life, just do what God says, and it will never run out. But it's up to us. Are we going to believe God or not? Well, my second thought is this, the strange response of the widow. She bought it. Okay. Look at verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. It was a step of faith that honored God. Just like it pleases God when we honor him with our giving. I have three children. My youngest son died several years ago on May 11th. From before he was born, he cost Tina and I. We had to have the hospital paid for before the seventh month. So we had that paid for. And then there was the OBGYN doctors. There was the pediatrician after that. There were diapers and food and clothes. And later there was haircuts and shoes and college and cars. And oh my goodness, insurance. There were books when he moved out of state and cell phones and plane tickets home. Every day of that boy's life, he cost us. And then he was gone. And from that time, he has not cost me a dime. But I would give everything I own to have that boy back. Everything worthwhile costs, just like the church costs. But what would your life be like without the church? Last of all, the strange reward of God. Verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Here's a companion scripture. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, good measure, running over. So shall men give into your bosom." It's not talking about quantity, folks. It's talking about the heart in which you give it. Give, and it shall be given unto you. If you are stingy towards God, look around at your life. God didn't fill the barrel. It just never ran dry. God lives by the principle of giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says this: "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren." Again, you either believe that or you don't. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your wonderful word. Thank you for the stories. Even as kids, we grew up hearing these great stories about Elijah and about this widow woman. And then a little bit later in this story, about her boy that he got sick and died. But Elijah took that boy and prayed over him. And dear Father, you had mercy on this mother and brought that little boy back. So Father, we thank you for your word. Dear Father, if there's someone here this morning that's never been saved, I pray that when the invitation is given in a moment, that they will come forward and let us show them how to go to heaven. But dear Father, right where they are at this time, they can pray a very simple prayer, something like, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me because of what Jesus did for me on the cross." They can pray that simple prayer and be saved. So Father, speak to hearts. Speak to the hearts of the folks that are here that have learned to trust you, and it's changed their life, and you've been so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.